The following audio is from City Rev Church. For more information about City Rev Church, visit us online at cityrev.org.
You've probably heard of the Apollo program that NASA had many years ago, where they were for a little over 10 years in the 60s and early 70s. We were attempting to put a man on the moon, and there are many missions where we put people on the moon and then they came back. But running around the same time was another program, the Mariner program, and sometimes that gets overshadowed, but also an extraordinary series of missions. There were 10 of them, and their goal was to send these rockets. They were like space probes that would send these probes out to other planets. Now, they were not manned missions, so there was no astronauts on these rockets, but they would send these like satellite-looking spacecraft around various planets. So over the course of 10 missions, they either did a flyby or an orbit around Mars, Venus, Mercury, sometimes a combination of a couple of those. And I think we just kind of take it for granted, but as I was looking at these recently, at these missions, I was like, that's insane. I mean, like, we're sending things to other planets, and like, we're sending something from here, it's going around and like actually effectively getting it to go around another planet. It's unbelievable what they were able to accomplish, and they were attempting a great thing to learn more information about other planets in our solar system. And of these 10 Mariner missions, one of the most famous, maybe the most famous, is actually the very first one. We actually have a picture of that Mariner rocket up on the launch. There are these huge rockets. Contained inside are these satellite looking things, but these vehicles would launch them up into space, and then they do what they do and kind of release that satellite and it goes in the right space, or at least that's what they're supposed to do. But on Mariner 1, all of the years, decades of research, the greatest minds, like on the planet at the time, they're thinking through these rockets. They're doing all the math. They're doing all of the equations. They're doing all of the little details. They're planning every little piece of this mission, and they get to count down and to launch. And Mariner 1, they launch this unmanned rocket. It goes up into space. They're all leaning in. They're in their control center. Just hundreds of scientists, like, all have worked on this. Like, what's going to happen? They launch the rocket, and it starts going the wrong way. I want you to think about that for a second. All of these minds saying, hey, we thought the rocket was going to go that way. Anyone know why it's going that way? And they're watching. They're leaning in. Why is it veering off course? Why is it going that way? And it's going farther and farther off course until eventually those who are like in charge of safety are like, listen, we can't just let this rocket go. We don't know where it's going. It actually could come back down on Earth. It could hurt some people. We have to destroy the rocket. And so they had to send a self-destruct signal to the rocket, which I picture is like a large red button that they pressed. I'm sure it's a little more complicated than that. But in my mind, they pressed this big red button. It sent a signal, and they all had to watch as they blew up their own rocket. Mariner 1 was an utter failure, cost them millions and millions of dollars. Now they had to go back together and say, all right, what happened? And they had to do the research to find out what was the detail. And what they found was one small thing. It just took one little thing, and the whole mission went off course. Now think about it. I mean, don't underestimate. They were attempting a great thing. I mean, they're going to send that rocket around another planet. That's pretty impressive. But the great thing that they were attempted got derailed by one small thing. As we're in this series, Attempt Great Things, we've been talking about different parts of this. The first week, 2 weeks ago, we talked about, okay, let's first discern what is the great thing we're after. I think every human really is after something. It might be a career thing. It might be success. It might be wealth. It might be something to do with a relationship. We've all got something in us that we're driving for. And so the first step is, let's discern, am I doing that for my kingdom or God's kingdom? Then last week we said, okay, let's get aligned. Once we've gotten aligned in pursuing God's kingdom, here's what we've got to know. It's going, whatever it is that he's put us after, it is going to require courage. There's no way around it. If we're going to attempt a great thing for God and watch God work through us, it's going to require courage. But this week, what we need to understand as part of the process, if we're going to attempt great things for God, we're going to have to be faithful with the small things. And it's so tempting to try and go around the small things, cut the corner, find a shortcut. But if we're going to attempt great things, God expects us to be faithful with the small things. I want you to see a passage where Jesus teaches this, and it's actually one of his parables. He told these stories. He made up these stories and told them, these parables, that have had such impact on the planet that we still talk about them to this day, and they're preserved in God's word. Part of what made these parables so powerful is, don't misunderstand Jesus as a teacher. He was really, especially in its original context, edgy. His parables had twists and turns that were not expected. His parables had things in them that you're like, wait a minute, what did he just say? And this parable is one of my favorites because it's one of the edgiest parables he taught. And it's part of that edginess that gets it stuck in our brains to help us understand God's truth and how he wired this universe and how he wired us. I want you to open in your Bible or your Bible app to Luke chapter 16. We're going to start in verse 1. We're going to listen to the teachings of Jesus. This is straight from God for us today. Luke 16, starting in verse 1. He also said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager.'" All right, let's just start with the opening of the story. There's a guy, a wealthy man. We'll say he's a business owner. And he has a man that's managing his whole business. Let's say he owns a small business. He can have one manager that's managing the whole business for him. So if he's the owner, then anything that happens with the business is basically the possession of the business owner, right? You follow me? So this manager is really managing the stuff that is the business owner's. He finds out that the manager has been wasting. He's not done a good job managing. He's wasted it. He's squandered it. And so he calls the guy to himself, and the business owner says this to the manager. He says, "I hear that you are not doing a good job. You've been wasting my company. So bring me the ledger because you are fired." Now, if you've ever fired someone or ever been a part of that process, you probably would caution the business owner, "Hey, how about you get the ledger first? Then fire the guy, okay? Don't leave him to run amok with the ledger now that he knows he's fired, okay?" And that's good wisdom, and you will see Jesus is not advocating for handling that. That's actually about to get that business owner into trouble. He calls this manager. Maybe he's a lazy manager. Maybe he's an inept manager. Whatever it is, he says, the guy calls him in, "You're fired. Now bring me the ledger." Not the wisest move, but let's see what happens. We're going to pick it up in verse 3. "And the manager said to himself, 'What shall I do? Since my master is taking the management from me, I am not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people will receive me into their houses.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said to him, 'Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, 'How much do you owe?' And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, 'Take your bill and write 80. All right, let's pause for a second. What's this guy doing? He's taking the ledger and he's going to fudge the numbers. He's going to take the ledger and he's going to go to the people that owe his master money. The people he should have been chasing down to make sure that they pay for the sake of his master. Instead, he's going, okay, how much is it that you owe my master? Which is a little alarming that he doesn't know. Okay, but he asks him, how much do you owe my master? He says, well, 100 measures of oil. And he says, how about this? Let's say it's 50. You change your books, I'll change my books. Nobody has to know. Sure deal. So he changes it down to 50. That guy just got saved 50 measures of oil. He goes to the next guy. How much do you owe my master? He says, 100 measures of wheat. He's like, I got it. Here's what we'll do. Call it 80. You write down 80. I'll write down 80. I just remember I saved you 20 measures of wheat. He's like, deal. He erases it. The manager erases it. Okay, what has he just done? He's just cheated his own boss, the business owner, out of stuff, like out of money. Like he just cheated his current boss out of money. And who was the benefactor of that? These other clients, these other customers, these other companies, they're like, great, we just saved some money. Did the manager benefit out of that? Did he say, listen, what I want you to do is, we'll call it 50, you get 25 and I get 25. Was that the scam? That wasn't the scam. That is a scam. That wasn't this man's scam. He said, you keep all of it. You keep that extra wheat. You keep that extra oil. He wasn't directly benefiting from any of that. What was his motive? He's saying, I'm about to get fired. I'm about to get terminated. I'm going to leave this company and I will have to go work for another company. I want to make some friends. This is a really good moment for me to make some friends. I'm going to make some friends with some other companies so that when suddenly I need a job, that those other companies will be like, hey, I remember you. You were good to me. Come work for me. Now he's about to bring the ledger back to the owner. What's Jesus doing with this parable? Let's pick it up in verse 8. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. End of the parable. Jesus goes on. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. Wait a minute. What was that, Jesus? I saw that parable ending very differently. I saw the manager being called back to the owner, and then he's like, ha ha, I caught you, and you're going to get it. And he gets thrown in a dungeon where he'll spend the rest of his days. Like, isn't that, this is a lesson on integrity, right, Jesus? Like, it kind of sounds like the dishonest manager was the hero of the story. Like, at the end, the owner just says, wow, I got to hand it to you. You're pretty shrewd. Still fired, but pretty shrewd. That's the end of the story. What are you saying, Jesus? Are you saying, like, you know, it's okay to fudge the numbers? It's okay to lack integrity? It's okay to have side dealings? It's okay to be manipulative? It's okay to do that kind of thing? Well, listen, of course that's not what Jesus is saying. How many other places does Jesus talk about being holy like God is holy? How many more places does he talk about speaking truth and being people of the truth? How many other times does he say, I'm upholding the truths from the law, one of the commands of Scripture? One of the Ten Commandments is thou shalt not lie. Obviously, a cornerstone of being a child of God, a corner foundation piece of being a godly man or a godly woman, a part of being a follower of Christ is having rock solid integrity. Of course, that's what the whole testimony of Scripture is saying. Well, then what is the point of your parable? Why are you telling us to be like this dishonest manager? He says the sons of darkness, that's people who do things the world's way, are more shrewd often than the sons and daughters of light. For starters, in other words, one of the fruit of the Spirit is not naivety. Have integrity, but have wisdom and shrewdness. And what kind of shrewdness? He says, make friends for yourself. This is his point. Make friends for yourself with worldly resources so that one day when you're no longer part of this program and you move on to the next, they will receive you in. Just like the manager said, this job is coming to a close. I need to get ready for the next one. This household I'm getting kicked out of, I need to be ready for the next one. He says, you're about to get kicked out of your current program, your current job, your current career, your current household. So get ready for the next one. What is he saying? Are you about to get fired? Well, what is he saying? Is he saying the household that you're about to get in, that you're about to get brought into is an eternal one? In other words, humans, we're all about to get fired from life. You and I will one day soon be terminated, literally. He says, use the same shrewdness. Use what you have in this life to prepare for the next one. Because when you clean out your desk for this life, you don't take any of it with you. You don't get a little box and put all the things from your cubicle of this life and carry it into eternity with you. You have to leave that all behind. You walk out of this life empty-handed into eternity. And he says, use the resources from this life to make friends for eternity. In other words, to use it with the same edginess that Jesus has, cheat this life for the sake of the next life. Cheat this life to make friends for eternity so that one day, a billion years from now, you're walking through heaven and you've completely forgotten the little details of this life that were so important for you now. But someone stops you in heaven and says this, I wondered when I would run into you. There were things that God did through you that you never knew, but I am here because of what you did, because that is what's going to matter in the next life. Okay, now, profound concept of thinking for the fact that, hey, I don't know how much longer you and I have in this life, maybe 50 years, maybe 100 years, maybe 5 years, 5 minutes, I don't know. But I know it's going to come to a close, and because of our faith in Jesus, we'll spend a bazillion years in heaven. So leverage this life for what's to come. We could spend the rest of our time on that, but Jesus isn't done yet. Watch what else he says. Powerful words. Let's finish it up. Pick it up in verse 10. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. A lot in there. He says so many things. He starts with this first part, this profound axiom that God has wired into the universe. Be faithful with a little thing. If you're faithful with the little things, you will be faithful with much. Hey, that's a principle that you and I know. If you're in a position where you are part of the hiring process where you work and you have to hire people, if you walk through that hiring process, what you know is how they are through the hiring process as a candidate, they're pretty much at their best. If they're 5 minutes late to their first interview, it's not going to get better from there. It's not like, well, if I give them the job, maybe they will suddenly become punctual. 5 minutes is probably, 5 minutes late is probably their best. Assume, aside from maybe some wild exceptions, assume that in 3 months as an employee, it's going to be a lot later than 5 minutes. if who someone is with a little, that's just who they are. They don't suddenly transform when they're given more. How about if you're dating someone and you see little flags that you're like, hey, this concerns me in what I'm dating. I don't know. Maybe I should look into this. A lot of times we overlook those things because of affection or because of our love for someone or our infatuation with someone or because we're just really optimistic. But whatever that was when you're dating, it's not suddenly going to get better once you're married. In fact, it's going to get worse. I'm not saying, hey, when you're hiring, look for the perfect candidate, or when you're dating, wait for that absolute perfect person. We're all flawed. I'm saying there's a principle here. If we're faithful with little or unfaithful with little, that's who we are. It doesn't change when we get more. It's the same with promoting someone. Well, this person's not great in their level of responsibility. Why then would I suddenly think if I give them more responsibility, suddenly they'll rise to the occasion? I have no evidence to believe that. If this is how someone is with a little, I'm not going to be faithful. Do this well, then I'll have confidence that you'll do this well. Be faithful with a little because that's who you are. Then you can be faithful with more. Okay. We know this principle. Why is Jesus bringing this out? Jesus is saying that's not a business principle that we're using to talk about spiritual things. That's God's principle that we stumble upon in the marketplace. That's how God has wired the universe. And we can also apply that where we work and in relationships. And he takes it a step further. Because look how it ends. He says, who then, if you're faithful or unfaithful, who is the one who's going to entrust you with more? Watch this lead up. He says, who then is going to entrust you with more? You cannot serve two bosses. In other words, who's really your boss? Because whoever you see your boss is, that is who you're trusting to bring you, to promote you. That's who you're trusting to bring you more. And then Jesus, he just goes right for the jugular. This is not the only place he does this. He goes right to the jugular because he knows us. He says, you cannot serve God and money. God can't be your boss and also money. And he's saying, again, he says this multiple places. He said this actually all the time. Talk about money all the time, Jesus did. Why? Because God looks down, he's like, I've seen billions of people and how they handle money. Every single human, God's seen and how they handle money. And he says, I know that this is a testing spot because how they handle finances is so often an indicator of how we handle the rest of our lives. He says, be faithful with a little. How you are with a little is where you'll be at with a lot. This principle, watch the promise here. The principle Jesus talks about in other places. He tells another parable, and this is also in the book of Luke and some of the other gospels. He tells this parable. It's another business story. He says, a business owner goes on a long trip and he has three managers and he entrusts an enormous sum of money to each of these managers. And he says, do business, invest it, use it to make more business for me while I'm gone. And then he goes on this long trip. When the owner comes back, he puts his managers, he said, what did you do with the money? He says, well, I've been working hard. I've been investing. I've been building business and I've doubled it. He says, awesome. He says, what about this one? He says, I've been working hard. I've doubled it. This guy, the third guy, squandered it. And I want you to hear in Jesus' story, this is what he said to the guys who were faithful, the managers who were faithful and were investing it for the master. He said this, his master said to him, watch. Again, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will, look what he will do. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. What God is saying is if you walk in faithfulness, saying, okay, I'm preparing for the next, according to what God tells me is I'm preparing for the next life. I'm living. What is faithfulness? It's faith that God is my boss. It's faith that God is saying, I'm preparing for what's coming next. It's faith that God's providing for me. It's faith that I'm supposed to do it God's way. It's faith. If I'm full of faith with what I have now, then the promise is he then will entrust me with more on his timing and in his way and for his purposes. Those are God's words. That's Jesus' words. But his principle, we sometimes talk ourselves into going around it. The principle is be faithful with a little, and then you will be faithful with a lot. Let's work this out in our lives. There's many ways we can apply this, and let's apply this a couple different ways, but let's start with the one that's most native to this text. The most obvious application is when it comes to finances. Oftentimes, there's a temptation to think of it like this. Okay, I want to attempt great things for God. I do. I want to do great things for God. And part of what I want to do for God is often we say, look, I do want to be generous with my finances. I want to be a generous person. I want to give. I want to give back to God. And I want to give to others who are in need. Like, I do want to be a generous person. But, you know, first what I'm doing is I'm trying to just invest and work hard, and I'm trying to build a little bit of financial margin. And if I can just invest well, if I can create some wealth, if I can create some financial margin, then I will be generous. Then I'll give back to you, God, and then I'll be generous to those in need around me. But you wouldn't promote you with that same framework. God's saying, listen, who you are with a little, that's who you are with a lot. If my level of generosity with a little is what my generosity will be with a lot. Finances are so tricky, isn't it? We've walked through this. If you've ever gotten like a raise, that day you go home from work and you've gotten a raise and you're like, man, I can't believe this is awesome. Especially if it was unexpected. This is great. I got this bonus or I got this raise. And man, it's like, this feels like there's money everywhere. Like, what am I going to do with this? And I've got all these plans and these ideas. And like 5 minutes later, I'm like, it's all gone. I'm tight again financially. Where did it all go? All those plans. I mean, there is always, the world is waiting, is another part of thing the Bible says. The world is always waiting to consume our finances. So God's saying, don't wait. Be faithful now. And ask yourself, it's a matter of faith. Who do I really trust to bring the increase? You could invest and you could be saying, no, I'm going to invest financially in the business and all these things and all these things financially because I'm trusting in finances to provide and to provide excess. But you could also instead say, no, money is not my boss. God alone is my boss. So I'm going to start by giving back to you, God. And I'm going to do that. I'm not going to wait to do that. I'm going to do that first. I'm going to do that now. I'm not going to wait till I get out of school with this side job. I'm going to do it now. I'm not going to wait till I'm no longer a kid and I'm going to start doing now. I'm not going to wait till I finally, get to that level I want or that dollar amount I want or that retirement amount. He's in charge of all of it. Your career is in his hands. Your accounts are in his hands. Your investment is in his hands. And I think we can all agree, we would rather have what God can do rather than just what money can do. So it's a matter of faith. Be faithful with a little, then be faithful, then he will entrust you with more. Don't fall for the trap. God, you know I'll be faithful with more. Even if I'm not faithful, don't fall for the trap because he's not falling for it. That's on generosity. There's other ways we can apply it. How about integrity? You know, I know that what I'm doing is probably not exactly honest. You know, I mean, you could look at it differently because it's tax season and I know I probably shouldn't put it exactly like this. It's borderline, right? I mean, or it's kind of expected, or this one business practice, but we're a startup and we're trying to do what we can, or it's just the economy. Let me just get through this tough season and then I'll straighten things out. Or, well, I can't help it. The boss is telling me I've got to do this. And so one day when I'm a boss, I won't do it like this. He's saying, be faithful right now. Have integrity right now. Because to think that I'll suddenly be different when I have more, Who I am with a little is who I will be with a lot. If I haven't built the character, it's actually he loves you too much to give you more. Because if he gave you more without letting you first learn to be faithful with a little, then the stakes are higher. The impact is graver. The consequences are bigger. He loves you too much to operate outside of his own principle. Be faithful with a little. Be faithful now. How about in levels of responsibility? God, you know, like I'm working hard. Like I want to be promoted. Lord, I'd love to be a leader, a manager, a business owner, an executive. I'd love to have more. I'd love to start up my own company, or I'd love to see this take off, or I'd love to step into this career. Lord, I'd love to have more. Could you just help me get to that place? And here's his answer. Start by being faithful where you are. It's a tragic thing for a Christian called to represent God out in their city, called to go out and be a city changer, called to walk in to be the image of God, that goes out and does sloppy work and expecting if they pray hard enough, God will go outside of his own principle and entrust you with more responsibility. If he's trusting you with responsibility, do everything with excellence, empowered by the Holy Spirit right now. Even if you're at the bottom rung, even if you find yourself having shifted jobs and now you're at a lower position and you're like, I've been at a higher position, whatever it is, do it with all you've got. Why? What does the scripture say? Whatever you do, do it as if working for the Lord, not for men. Because you know who's really in charge of your promotion and your career? It's God. He's your boss. And he sees it. He sees the small menial tasks that you're way overqualified for. But when you do it with everything you've got, it's a powerful act of worship back to God. You be faithful with the small things. How about this one? How about influence for the kingdom of God? You know, sometimes we're tempted to think, you know, I would be a little bit more outspoken about my faith, about who Jesus is and the impact he's made on me and in my story of how he's redeemed me. I'd be a little bit more active and maybe inviting a friend into experience a God working at church. Like I'd love to invite him to church, but it's just like, you know, maybe if I had a little bit more influence, maybe one day if I was a leader or the manager, then I would do it. But right now, it's a little bit, I don't know if I should do it. Don't wait, Christian. Who you are with a little is who you will be with a lot. Be faithful with a little. Now, I'm not saying be unwise. I'm not saying be a bull in a china shop. I'm not saying go to work and beat people over the head with the Bible. I'm saying be winsome, be kind, be gracious, be full of joy. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Be ready to share your story of what Jesus has saved you from. Be ready to walk and share about your faith and invite people in with you to church. Be ready to do that, because if you're faithful with a little, then you'll be entrusted with more, and it's God who's watching over you. Be like Joseph. Do you remember Joseph in the Old Testament? He was in a dungeon in Egypt. And they said, hey, Pharaoh wants to talk with you, which is pretty much the most powerful human on planet Earth. And they dust the fleas off of Joseph and they clean him up and they put a robe on him. It's the first time he hasn't had dirt on him for probably a decade. And he stands before Pharaoh one shot. He might die if he gets this wrong. It's not just like, oh, I don't want to go back to the dungeon. It's, I don't want a grisly death if I mess this up. And he stands before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says, hey, I've had this terrible dream. I hear you can interpret dreams. And with his one shot in front of the most powerful man, he says, nope, can't interpret dreams. You've heard wrong, but God can interpret dreams. Maybe he'll give me an interpretation for you. And God said, I can work with that. And Joseph became the second most powerful man on planet Earth, running Egypt for Pharaoh. That's what God can do. We've got to be faithful with the little things. You know, when they went back to Mariner 1, and they said, what went wrong? They went over the whole mission. Like, how did this whole rocket go the wrong way? And they, and one group was going over all the coding that they had written, and they found a mistake. Let me show you what the mistake was. We have a slide of it. It was one letter. It was an R. It was like this. One letter was R, and it was supposed to have that little bar on top of it, and they accidentally omitted that bar on one part of the coding. And that little, it's called a macron or an overbar, but it looks like a hyphen. They forgot that little hyphen-like mark, and the entire mission went off course. It's been known as the most expensive hyphen in history. If you're going to attempt great things, you've got to be faithful with the small things. Christian, can I tell you the good news? He's dreaming over your life. He cares more about the purpose and fruitfulness of your life than you do. He wants you to bear great fruit for His glory. He's watched every other human's life experience, and He's like, listen, trust me. Be faith. Let me be the one running your life. Let me be the boss. Let me be the boss over your life. And He's saying, start working for My kingdom. This life is going to terminate you. Start investing now. Don't wait. Be faithful. Invest now in the things that are to come for eternity. Be faithful now with God as your boss and eternity as your future. Start investing now for those things. Because your everything is in His hand. Every part of my life is in His hand. Every part of your life is in His hand. Because you know who He is. He's the one that had a promise over Abraham's life. And Abraham took a step of faith, and didn't wait. And took a step of faith and had a long, long journey. But out of from Abraham and Sarah came an entire nation whose offspring, there was a particular offspring from them named Jesus Christ. And through Jesus, every nation in the world has been impacted. It's the God of Abraham. It's the God of Moses. He had a mission and a calling over Moses' life. And Moses took a scary step of faith and was faithful. And look at the miracles that God did to deliver His people. It's that God had a promise over a man named Judah, that from Judah would come a king that would last for, that would reign for all times. And sure enough, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords was a descendant of Judah. There was a man named David, and David, this little shepherd boy who'd been out in the pasture, and God anointed him and said, this is the king. And they saw God slay giants through him and build a kingdom. There's a man named Solomon who God had a plan over, and God used Solomon to build an unbelievable empire. There's a man named Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego that went into the furnace to take a stand for God. There was a woman named Esther that God said, I've put you right here for such a time as this. You just take one step of faithfulness and watch how I will protect the whole course of redemptive history. There were these group of disciples that He said, just take a step and follow Me and be faithful to do the scary things that I tell you to do, but these simple things right in front of you, and looked at the miracles that followed after these disciples. That is the God that has a plan and dream over your life. Part of seeing that being revealed. If you want to see those great things work themselves out, you've got to be faithful in the small things. That's who your God is. Do you believe that, church? Do you believe that's who your God is? As He's stirring up in you the great things that He's calling you to do for the kingdom of God. And you're refining these. God, I don't want to build My kingdom. I want to build Your kingdom. And I know it's going to be courageous. Maybe the most courageous thing you could do this week is do the small things well. Take a step. Take a step this week and do the small things well. Do the small things well. Take a step in your finances and say, I want to see what you can do through my finance. I'm going to do it your way. Take a step with your integrity and say, God, this world doesn't determine how I live. You do. You're my boss. I want to be faithful right now with the things in my life. I'm going to turn and go a different way. Maybe you're taking a step with your level of responsibility and say, I want to do these things well because I'm trusting that You have a plan. Take a step with your influence. Share your faith. Live as an ambassador for Christ. Watch what God is going to do in your life. But maybe for some of you, the bravest step you need to take is, if you're honest, you say, if I'm really honest, maybe say, look, I'm religious, but if I'm honest, money is the boss of my life. Career is the boss of my life. A relationship is the boss of my life. That's what determines what I do. And I have a relationship with God, but my relationship with God is asking for him to help me serve those masters. Tear down those idols and become a worshiper of Almighty God. Let Jesus be the king that reigns over your life and live a life for him. Let's pray. For those of you, Christian, if you say, look, I know that Jesus is the king of my life, but I need to walk faithfully, more faithfully in some of the small things in my life, would you make a decision to not just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word? Would you make a decision today that you're going to change course, honor the Lord and change course today? Ask now for the Holy Spirit's power to do that. But some of you are here and you're saying, look, I don't even know that I've ever had Jesus as my king. I've had religion in my life, but I've not just surrendered to Jesus. Find salvation today. Believe in Jesus. He died for you. He rose again. He came up out of that grave. He did that for you to pay for your sins. And if he is willing to do that for you, would he stop at doing anything for you? That's the kind of king you want to follow. Surrender your life to him. If that's you, make this your prayer to God. Just say silently right there in your seat, say, Jesus, I surrender to you. I make you my king. Thank you for saving me. Thank you that I will spend eternity with you in heaven. I give you my life in Jesus' name. Amen. That was you. That was your prayer just then, to give your life to Jesus. We want to put a Bible in your hands. We want to celebrate with you. So for those watching online, grab your phone. Just take a minute right now. Grab your phone. Go to cityrev.org/faith. It's going to ask you a couple questions, and we're going to mail you a Bible wherever you are. For those of you who are here, if that was your decision here, we really want to celebrate with you. We want to put a Bible in your hands today. So before you leave, go into the front lobby to guest services and go to that desk and say, hey, I put my faith in Jesus. Can I have a Bible? They'll give you a Bible. They're ready for you to celebrate with you. We want to celebrate that. Church, as we close, we're going to close with a song. We've got some of our prayer leaders. They're going to be down front. And if you have something you're praying over in your life, let your church family minister to you. They will be happy to pray over you. But for the rest of us, we're going to sing in declaration to God. We're going to sing being reminded that as we surrender to God, as we make him the boss over our life, as we take all these little parts of our life and say, it's all yours, we're going to be reminded that he is a miracle working God. We're going to declare all the things he's done to remind our hearts and our souls and our minds that we serve a capable God. Would you stand with me as we close with this song together?
Thanks for listening. For more resources and to check out other teaching series, please visit our website at cityrev.org. If you would like to speak to somebody about beginning a relationship with Jesus or ask any questions you have about this teaching, you can email us at podcast@cityrev.org.